to choose between those alternatives that are realistically available to you. And people are continually faced with that kind of a choice, whether or not coercion is involved. The thief is merely part of reality. And the individual finds himself vulnerable to the thief, now has to choose between the alternatives that are left. Since it is now too late to choose to avoid the thief, there's nothing you can do about that now. This is reality. The thief is there and you're vulnerable to him. Now what are you going to choose among the alternatives that are available to you? But one way or another, he's going to have to deal with the reality that there are thieves in the world, no matter what kind of a society we live in. So thieves are a part of reality, and it is not a false alternative to be faced with having to give up some of your resources because there are thieves in the world. Even if you never face the thief face to face, you have to face the fact that he exists and expend some of your resources to protect yourself against him, to keep from meeting him face to face. So in any way that you look at it, you would be faced with this so-called false alternative. The distinguishing characteristic of this kind of choice is not the presence of coercion, but rather that the individual is now faced with having to choose to minimize his loss rather than to maximize his gain. And that kind of choice occurs often in an individual's life, with or without coercion. It is the negative choice that you make when you are now find yourself that you have placed yourself in a position where the only choice that is available to you is now, how can I keep from losing too much? How can I keep from increasing my happiness any more than I have to? Rather than saying, from where I am now, how can I increase my happiness or improve my situation? The man who makes a mistake and then tries to decide whether at this point he should go ahead and lose some reputation or some freedom of action in hiding the mistake is faced with this kind of a negative decision. The individual who has to decide between paying for a new sewer or seeing his lawn get all muddied up is faced with a negative choice. He is choosing to minimize his loss. Which of the choices will give me the least loss? In each case, the individual is examining reality as it is and trying to make a choice, but none of the alternatives will increase his happiness. All will lessen it. Now the only question is which one will minimize that loss. Even a bad decision will cause a loss, of course. Having chosen in a way that the individual expects to increase his happiness, he finds when it's all over that he has given up resources that are no longer available to him now, and he has not improved his situation in any way, or maybe even lessened it. This would be another example of the lost situation. Now, obviously, the optimum situation is to be in the position where you are continually choosing to maximize your happiness and never having to choose between possible losses. Making positive decisions rather than negative decisions in every case. Now, we'll come back to that further along, but for now, let's recognize that there is one ingredient that must always be seen in order to evaluate any course of action at any time. And that is the realistic alternative. With the resources I am going to expend here, is there any other way that is realistically available to me that I could spend these same resources and get a greater amount of happiness or a lesser amount of unhappiness if I'm faced with a negative choice? But without a recognition of the alternatives, there is never any way to evaluate anything. Choices then become abstractions that are useful only in discussing them around tables like this and never actually applied to life. Because in the real world, resources are limited and you are using resources in any potential course of action. And this means there really is no such thing as a compromise in life because everything will cost you something. We'll get back to that in a minute. But the question always is then, which course of action will bring me the maximum well-being with the limited resources to be expended? And without a recognition of the alternatives, the alternative ways that these limited resources could be used, there is no standard. So the question always is, which is the best alternative? The purpose of your decision always is to choose the situation that will bring you the greatest well-being. And with that in mind, let's break the decision down then to its component parts. And in every decision, large or small, there will be six main elements present, each of which has to be recognized for what it is in order to make an efficient decision. Let's take them one at a time. First element being the reward. What is it I'm expecting to get out of all of this? And of course, at this point, you're looking at one of the alternatives that are available to you. Now, if this is a long-term project like marriage or the choosing of a career partly for its consumption value or the decision that you'll retire at age 60 or whatever, your biggest consideration would be, how sure am I that if I really successfully complete this thing, that I will derive maximum well-being from it? If the decision concerns one way of bringing about a production value that you've already settled on as being happiness producing to you, then you will want to identify how much of that production value would be achieved if this one decision goes right.